You are listening to Sideline Chats, a podcast where I talk to female athletes, coaches, and media workers about the unfair treatment in women's athletics. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideline Chats. I am your host, Joe LeBlanc, and my guest on today's episode is Autumn Truesdale, who was a Division I basketball player from Merrimack College and also a member of Merrimack's Athletic Diversity Committee. We will be discussing her experiences that got her to where she is today and hear what she has to say about the inequality that female athletes encounter every day.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much for coming out. So before we get started with today's episode, I just wanted to quickly dive into the research that I have been conducting on this topic. So the research has shown that there is four major issues when it comes to the unequal treatment that females in athletics face, and that is the lack of coverage, because we saw in the year 2019, coverage of women athletics on televised news and highlight shows totaled only 5.4% of all airtime, which is clearly unacceptable. We also see the lack of financial compensation, like the NBA players make an average of $7 million a year, while the WNBA players make on average around $75,000 a year. And that also leads to the term of lack of respect, like what we saw in the 2021 NCAA tournament with the viral video by Sedona Prince that showed the significant amount of mistreatment with the lack of equipment that the female athletics received and have access to compared to the men. And then the last big factor here is the negative impact that this unequal treatment has had on young and upcoming female athletes. And this negative impact is due to the lack of coverage, which young female athletes have a limited number of role models to look up to. And it also derails their self-confidence and questions their participation in athletics in general. So in order to understand this inequality of gender in athletics, the theory of hegemonic masculinity in sport is something that we always need to have in the back of our mind. So Raewyn Connell in 2005 defined it as the configuration of gender practice that embodies the currently accepted answer to the problem of the legitimacy of patriarchy, which guarantees the dominant position of men in the subordination of women. So this concept can easily be transferred into the gender inequality that we see in athletics every day. The theory holds sports journalists and media decision makers accountable for men's continued dominance, as it claims the masculine news values and journalists' sexist attitudes filter the production process, and therefore they reinforce gender hierarchies. This is also quite present in NCAA, like I mentioned before, with the Sedona Prince video of the lack of equipment that the female basketball players received in the tournament. And they only got a few dumbbells and yoga mats compared to the men's full state-of-the-art equipment room. So hegemonic masculinity definitely exists in this topic. So based off of that, we can say the issue of gender inequality in sports is systematic, and it is an issue of hegemony. So now that we have a little bit of background knowledge of gender inequality in sports, let's chat for a little bit with Autumn here to hear her answer some questions on the topic and to hear her story on how she got to where she is today. So Autumn, the first question that I have for you is, what inspired you to become an athlete?
I live in New York City in Manhattan. And so growing up, I see a lot of, I guess you'd say, for lack of a better word, poverty where I'm from. And I think you've heard the term like getting out or like getting out of the hood. And so like that has been ingrained in me, not from like my family, but from my friends. And so from having that mindset since I was like probably six, I think I valued sports and I loved the game of basketball and I love all sports, but I found my niche in basketball. And I was like, well, if this is something that I can take to college and have it pay for my education, then so be it. And thankfully I enjoyed the sport as well, so it wasn't really like a burden or a job. I was just having fun and doing what I loved with my friends and what I consider now my life. But definitely becoming an athlete has changed my whole life and my outlook on life, and I truly wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think basketball is a great sport. I have been surrounded by it basically my whole life. I've fallen in love with the game myself. It's my favorite thing. So I agree with you on that. And that being said, do you have any athletes that you considered role models and inspired you being where you are today, becoming a Division One athlete and whatnot?
Yes. So growing up, I think the cliche answer is always like parents and family, but that is very true. My mom played D1 basketball. My dad played D1 basketball and then went overseas to play pro. And then my cousin also played in college as well, but he played on the D3 level. So I think it has always been ingrained in me. And like I've been brought up on sports, especially basketball. And so having my family play their whole lives definitely helped me like jumpstart my career in basketball. And it felt like I was an extension of them. So like every time I stepped on the court, I thought about my parents, my cousins, my uncles, everyone who's played the game before me. And they all have had a hand in getting me to where I am, or I guess where I was at Merrimack.
That's awesome. Do you have any, like, let's say, like professional, like athletes, like female athletes that you consider role models at all?
Yes. Obviously, Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird. Gotta give a shout out to my cousin, Kia Vaughn, who's on the Atlanta Dream. But those three, especially, I feel like changed the game. But also going back to like Lisa Leslie, and I wouldn't call it, I guess you'd call it disrespect from media. And they've turned that into fuel. So like Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, partnering with like Megan Rapinoe from the women's soccer team, like they've all stood behind each other to bring light and use their platforms about how women do get treated differently than men. Even if we are better, even if we are still qualified, it doesn't really matter. Just the fact that we are a woman means that we need to be treated differently. And I just look up to those women for using their platform. Even like Aaliyah Boston from South Carolina, she was nominated for an ESPYs, but they didn't like show the recording, or like they took back her nomination. And she was like, well, that's on them. Like, I know what I bring to the table, I know what I bring to the court, and have the utmost respect for women, especially even men who have now, like Kobe Bryant, RIP. He was a big supporter of women's basketball. And so like even the men on the NBA team and stuff are supporting us, like wearing our WNBA swag. Everyone's standing behind Brittany Griner, which I think is amazing. Everyone is starting to realize that women's sports, not even just basketball, is important. We need to highlight it for young women to see like role models, but also people that are less privileged as well. And so like having like Serena Williams or Coco Gauff, like those two, especially like, yes, they're tennis, but growing up, you'll see people that look like you and you could aspire to be them. So I think that's also very important as well. Representation definitely matters.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And so I work part time doing my master's. I work part time at Dick's Sporting Goods, and Dick's Sporting Goods has always been a push for women treatment, for equal women treatment in athletics. And we have to wear lanyards where I hold our name tags, and I happily represent. It has the WNBA. It's an orange one that says WNBA with Dick's Sporting Goods on it, because I think that from a basketball fan standpoint, basketball is the game of basketball. I don't care who's playing it. I just love seeing it for the entertainment, because I think basketball is a really entertaining sport. You get to see a lot of really talented athletes. And regardless of, like I said, regardless of who's on the court, if it's a male or female, as long as they're playing the game the way that it should, it doesn't matter what gender you are. I think that we need this systematic issue needs to be resolved, because fans all over the world should be able to be okay with watching both men and women play. That should be the number one goal to fix, because everyone deserves a chance to play. Anyone who's good enough to play it, but like you said, you're a Division One athlete. Anyone who gets to the level of Division One deserves to be respected regardless of what your gender is. And to kind of go off of that, I know you mentioned it a little bit, but maybe we can dive in just a little bit deeper. How would you describe the current treatment of women's athletics, or women in athletics right now?
I think if you know the game or you just respect women in general, no one would be okay with it. I think it even goes to like all the way to the top. Like our commissioner's a man. Most of the basketball coaches are men in both men and women's sports. We are starting to have female assistant coaches. Like Becky Hammon was in the NBA for the Spurs a little bit, and then she came back to the WNBA. But like we are making strides, and we have a few female like officiators in the NBA, a few females in other sports as well. But I think representation, like I said, definitely does matter. And having females coaches, I think, is the biggest part of that. Because not saying men don't understand females, but I feel like females understand females, if that makes sense. And I also think it goes back to what I was saying before, like seeing someone that looks like you or even doesn't look like you, but you're like, okay, Dawn Stanley is a female and she's a boss at South Carolina doing her thing. If I'm a 5-6-year-old seeing her on TV, I'm gonna be like, I want to be here no matter what race I am, my religion or anything like that. Like just seeing Dawn Stanley be so confident in herself and bring her team to a national championship should be celebrated, should be highlighted. And instead of having the narrative of, oh, she's a woman and she won the championship, it should be she's Dawn Stanley, the head coach of South Carolina. And so I definitely think like representation definitely matters, but also terminology as well. Like on all of our swag at Merrimack or even at other colleges, it's women's basketball. It's never men's basketball. And so it's very little, very minuscule, but I also feel like that has to do with equality. So if it's going to be men's basketball, it should be women's basketball. If it's just going to be Merrimack basketball that symbolizes men's basketball, then it should just be Merrimack basketball for women's basketball as well. Like the continuity and the reciprocation should go for all sports. And why do we have to specify if it's men's or women's basketball? It's all just basketball. Like we're all putting a basketball in a hoop at the end of the day. You have a coach, you have 10 people on the floor, 2 refs. Doesn't really matter your gender because you're both playing the same game and we all have the same rules. So I find that one to be very interesting of how everything's like specified. But I do think having women in leadership roles or just places of power definitely will help turn the tables. But that also starts with the people that are in power today wanting that change. And if they don't want that change, we're going to be repeating history over and over again.
Yeah, no. And you mentioned Dawn Stanley a lot. And another one that I always like to put out there is one of the forefront pioneers of female coaches is Pat Summitt, 100%. She was someone that I've always looked up to. My dad always used to, because I was a basketball fan growing up, my dad would always tell me about seeing Pat Summitt on TV. And he kept telling me all these stories of what she would do and how she was a very forceful coach. And it led her to where she was today. And she's probably basically the face of female coaches, regardless of what sport it is. And she always put in the hard work for her players. She never expected anything less from regardless of what they were facing, what they were going through. And I know Candace Parker has always been like her biggest fan. And I know that she was one of her players for a couple of years at Tennessee. And because I watched a documentary, an ESPN documentary on Pat Summitt, and all of her players that she coached or that she coached over the years all came together. This was released shortly before she passed away. And they all basically all said Pat Summitt was one of a kind. There was no one like her because she wanted women's athletics to be noticed, and to have the full coverage that they deserve. Because that Tennessee and UConn rivalry back in the day, even though it would only air a couple of times over like a 10-year span, it still brought a lot of coverage to women's athletics. And it was huge for both, not just the schools, but for women in general to finally get noticed for being top tier basketball players. So now that we've talked a little bit about that, why don't we hear a little bit about your role as the Athletic Diversity Committee at Merrimack and what does that entail?
So it started about right after George Floyd had passed away, and a few of us from all different sports came together and thought that Merrimack especially would benefit from this committee, where we were able to talk about current events that are happening outside of Merrimack, but also things that we have faced or endured at Merrimack as well, or even our friends. And so, as we know, like not everyone understands what other people go through. So we also thought it was a good way to share our stories, but also like highlight our differences, but also highlight our similarities of how, yes, we've come from different places. I'm from New York City. I am a Black woman, and you could be from Massachusetts and you're white. But at the same time, like getting us to Merrimack, there's certain things that we both have in common. And we just wanted to highlight highlight those similarities and differences, but also really pinpoint and say, like, even though we are different, at the end of the day, we're all athletes. We're all here for one reason, and that's the championships, and but also getting an education. And having meetings on a two-week, three-week type basis would help us band together as athletes. And throughout the year, we saw like an uptick in attendance. And so like women's basketball would go to lacrosse games and like we're screaming everyone's name because we know them from the committee or vice versa. And even this past season, like our gym was packed for women's basketball games. It first started with like maybe 30 people in the stands. But by the end of it, the whole football team was there. Lacrosse was there. Of course, the dancers, the cheerleaders, soccer was there. And so I think it definitely helped bridge the gap between sports because at the end of the day, we realized we are more similar than we are different. And even our differences should be highlighted and shouldn't be frowned upon. So I think the committee definitely did some great things. And it also opened the door to having those tough conversations because we didn't want George Floyd and his death to be in vain. Like there's something to be learned from that. And no matter which way you're leaning, I feel like that's all a part of the education and all about the conversation. And so it was a very open space where we invited everyone's opinions or thoughts and even encouraged people to take the things that we talked about or we learned from the meeting to their own friends, to their own family. And by that way, we had like a trickle effect of maybe I do have internal bias that I didn't know about. And now that I've been corrected on it, I could correct other people when I see it or when I hear it. And I think that was the biggest part of the committee that I appreciated, that we all understood that like, we're all not perfect, which is totally fine. But at the same time, we're all willing to accept the criticism and then change where need be.
I think that is absolutely awesome. I think that is a really cool thing, a very important thing that we need in a time like this. We've seen a lot of issues going on in the public eye and in society. And I really liked how you mentioned that it brought all the athletes together. It brought the committee brought all these athletes to other games, and it really, let's say, it advertises for every sport at Merrimack that Merrimack has to offer. And I love going to Merrimack games regardless of what the sport is, because Merrimack, I mean, I fell in love with it the minute I toured there. I love athletics in general. So being able to see everyone come together and support one another is always such a big thing. And I think that all sports need the cheerleaders, like not just the actual cheerleaders, but people cheering them on and rooting for them to do well. And like you said, that it would start out with maybe like 30 people at the women's games, which is not fair because like we mentioned before, in reality, the men are doing the same thing as you guys are doing. You guys are putting the ball in a hoop, just like the men. And we really need those numbers to change in order for, like I'll mention later, we want to see the youth demographic have those role models, get more role models, get more coverage of women's athletics to show that they are just as equally important as the men. And they're fighting for everything that they believe in on the court. They're doing a great job putting the ball in the hoop and scoring three-pointers and buzzer beaters, which is why I love the game so much. And I see that in women's athletics just as much as I see the men. So the divide really needs to be narrowed in order for change to come. So my next question is, have you ever personally experienced gender inequality in athletics, or have you seen a situation of inequality firsthand?
I have, and it was at my time prior to Merrimack. I first went to the University of Richmond in Virginia for 2 years before I transferred to Merrimack. And there I saw a difference between, it may sound silly, but like I saw a difference between like gear distribution. Men definitely got a lot more gear than women did, no matter the sport. And then there was also, I think like the way we were treated, I would like to say that none of it was like on purpose, obviously. But some people got treated. It's kind of like coaches played favorites is the best way to put it. And so like no matter the sport, like if it was a men's basketball coach and they were talking to a lacrosse player, like it didn't really matter. If they didn't know you, they didn't really engage in conversation. But if they did know you, then it was like, oh, let's go to lunch. Let's go get a coffee or let's go to the dining hall or whatever. But on like the grand scale of like Sedona Princes, inequality. I have not, thankfully, experienced anything like that, but like the microaggressions and like the subtle racist comments, I definitely have. And I think that's, unfortunately, that's very common in the world we live in today because people just don't know what they don't know. And that's where like the ADC comes into play, where we can address those microaggressions and explain like this is hurtful and this is why. And you may not see it that way, but I'm still expressing my feelings. And so thankfully, I haven't experienced like an atrocious type of inequality or like racist behavior. But I do know that it happens and we have seen it time and time and again with the NCAA. But I do think like talking about it and naming it and addressing it right when it happens will definitely help change the future. Because if we let it linger and let it fester, then no one's going to know that they're being disrespectful. No one's going to know that they've hurt another person unless we speak up and then we actually talk about it.
Yeah, no. So right after I was reading about this, right after the Sedona Prince video went viral, I know many sporting good providers like Dick's Sporting Goods and other ones contributed and actually donated a bunch of equipment to the female athletes, which there shouldn't even been that issue to begin with. I found that very sickening because again, they're all doing the same thing. They all deserve the same treatment. They all deserve to be able to train the exact same way as everyone else is doing, because you guys put the men put their bodies on the line every day. You guys put your bodies on the line every day. We're going out on that court. You could jump up, go down, and completely like hurt your foot and be gone for and be out of the game for months on end. And everyone deserves that ability to be able to be the fittest that they can be and be as strong as they can be before they go out and play the game of basketball. I've played the game since I was in fourth grade. It takes a number on your body after a couple of games. You run up and down that court, you take hits, you fall down, you get back up, you take more hits. It gets very tiring and very exhausting. And the fact that the women athletes only got some yoga mats and some dumbbells, while the men get treadmills and like lap machines and elliptical machines, is just it's not fair. It's a really bad form of inequality. And it's also rather embarrassing for the NCAA to actually do something like that, because it shows that they are not fully woke on what needs to be changed and what needs to happen in order for change to come. That's why companies like Dick's Sporting Goods, they stepped up. They wanted to fix this problem right away. But the main problem is there should not have been a problem to begin with. We should not have had Dick's Sporting Goods. Should not, I mean, it was great that they did that, but they shouldn't have had to step in to fix the NCAA's problem. The NCAA should have made those accommodations ahead of time rather than just ignore it. Because we live in today's age where we are always encouraged to speak out on what is wrong. And I think I applaud Sedona Prince for doing something like that, because sometimes it's not easy. I know from experience, it's not easy to stand up for what you believe in at times. But the fact that someone had the courage to do that and put the NCAA on notice was very big for the sport, because it made people realize that you all are the same. You are all both athletes at the end of the day, and you're all there to compete and win in any way that you can. So now that we've talked about this, what steps do you think should be taken in order to solve this problem of inequality?
I think the people that are currently in power should care. And if they do care, actually do something about it. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to actually step up and do it. And not saying money fixes all problems, but we should have more money in women's athletics, going from like when you're 5 or 6 years old, just starting out all the way to the WNBA. And I know like money or like people being televised is all about viewers and everything like that. But if women's basketball games are viewed more often or shown more often on TV, I feel like they are going to get more viewers. Like you have to go on certain channels to get a WNBA game, or they're aired at like 12 o'clock on a Tuesday. Most people are at work at that time. And so it's like, I understand that NBA games are probably more enjoyable because it's like faster basketball, or you could score like 20 points in less than 2 minutes. But at the same time, it's like having that equality of airtime is definitely something that would help, but also like just from like a college or collegiate standpoint, like treating the women as well as they treat the men. I think just starting there would solve a lot of problems and not assuming or insinuating that women can't do what men do. Because we have seen like women's soccer is, in my opinion, 10 times better than the men's soccer team, but they don't get the same credit. And so it's like just treating people the way that they deserve to be treated, I think will definitely change a lot of things. And I honestly think that we as females will surprise a lot of people if we are just treated with the same amount of respect. And people will start to realize that like, well, maybe we should have been doing this all along, because females actually are great at what they do. And if anything, I feel like we put more work in because men are just biologically more fit or faster or taller than we are. So like we have to make up for that deficiency. I wouldn't really call it deficiency, but like we have to make up for that by putting in more work in the weight room or getting more reps in the track. And so I think just starting by treating people the way that they should be treated or just as an equal would definitely help.
Yeah. So kind of going off of that, another documentary that I watched was on the 1999 women's national soccer team, the World Cup, the champions, and they did it. That inspired a generation of soccer players, for female soccer players, because that was the first that was like I think the third women's World Cup, and the United States won it back one of the first times. And they barely had anyone at the airport to greet them after they just won the World Cup. Then FIFA decides to bring in the soccer World Cup, the FIFA World Cup, to the United States, which, in my opinion, was the best decision in the history of sports, because it exposed the entire country to what soccer or female soccer is all about. So we saw stars like Mia Hamm and Julie Foley and people like that really brought the whole country together. Millions of people were following. There's stories about people trying to get in, tailgating for days, trying to get into these soccer games, which is one of the first times that we've ever seen something like this happen for women. This is in 1999. And to go back a little bit further, we saw inequality start all the way back in the 60s with Billie Jean King. Billie Jean King is probably, in the research that I've conducted, has been mentioned about 1,000 times in almost every article that I have read, that she is one of the pioneer for women's equality, because she helped equalize the pay in tennis for the majors. Like in Wimbledon, she didn't get Wimbledon equalized until 2007. And she was the winner of the 1966 Wimbledon for the men made £2,000. While she made £750. And it took nearly 40 plus years in order for equal pay to become a reality. And finally, we saw it happen about a couple months ago when the United States government finally instituted that the women's soccer players are to be paid equally as the men, which I think is a huge benefactor for all of sports, because it really shows that we have seen, like you said, the women are 10 times better than the men. The men's soccer games are not that exciting because they haven't been doing that well. They haven't been as successful as the female athletes. To be honest with you, I can name more female soccer players on the women's team over the past 10 years than I really can for the men. I think the only real one that I can name two on the men, Josie Altidore and Landon Donovan. Those are probably the only two I can name. Now, for women, I can name Megan Rapinoe, Abby Wambach, Christine Press, Julie Ertz, Carly Lloyd, Alex Morgan. I can name so many. And I think that is really, really important for athletics, because it's more popular, because they are more, I think they're more athletically gifted than the men, because sometimes they've outscored other countries like 7-1 in games. Like in the Olympics, they were like killing people in the Olympics until they lost against Canada. But in the World Cup, you're seeing them compete with the best of the best, and they're kicking everyone's butt. I guarantee you, if the women's team were to go up against the men's team, I think they would like wipe the field with them. I just think that they are just so gifted and so talented. And they are starting the push of getting more coverage for women's athletics, which I think is beyond important. So going off of the coverage that we see, how do we convince young female athletes to continue to participate in athletics amid the inequality and the lack of coverage that we see?
I think that all starts with parents. Regardless of the inequality, like if I didn't play basketball, I have no idea what I would have done with that time. Like one, it's, I think, a great way to expend energy so that when I come home, I'm like ready to pass out. But at the same time, like I'm able to connect with other young females, regardless of if we ever became D1 athletes or whatever, like I was still able to make friends my own age. And so I think that is definitely an importance that we should hone in on, of like getting children to go to after school if that's possible for the family financially, or going to a school that offers after school in the tuition. Like doing things like that will definitely help, because it also, being a crit major, I think of this too, like it helps keep children occupied no matter the gender, so that they have less time like outside doing like deviant acts. Like you're in a structured area doing something that you probably love to do, like just running around playing tag. Like I used to love that game growing up. I probably didn't understand the rules for a long period of time, but like I still had fun just running around expending energy for a couple of hours. Whereas if I didn't have that, God knows what would have been happening. You know what I mean? So I feel like regardless of the inequality, young children in sports should remain a necessity, and we should definitely have a higher importance on it in schools as well, of like, well, let's go to gym and let's do whatever you guys want to do, or stuff like that, so that children are exposed and not have it be like we're playing basketball every day. Like play basketball, go to the pool if possible, or let's play tennis, and have these kids be exposed to all different types of sports.
Yeah, no, I think that definitely the exposure of athletics is very important, because if we see, like in the research that I've conducted, it's the lack of coverage that we see are limiting the amount of role models that these young female athletes are getting. I was actually talking to one of our mutual professors, Jake Turner, and he mentioned that his daughter is having trouble finding her fit in sports because she loves softball. And they're having trouble finding a league for her to follow, and they're having trouble finding it. And it's, and Jake has told me that it's almost rather discouraging to her, because she's like, what's the point of all this? If they're not getting recognized, why should I even do it? And that's the main problem that needs to be fixed really quickly if we're going to ever see not just change happen, but a future for both athletics. We want to see, because if the females start getting discouraged, then and deciding not to play, that changes everything for the future. That changes how women's athletics will stand 10 years down the line. If fewer and fewer women are participating in sports, young females, that's horrible, because then that limits the amount of exposure that people get to see of the talents that women have to provide. Like, I'm going to tell you this, one of the most talented athletes I've ever seen, I think Serena Williams and Venus Williams are two of them. And I also have to give a shout out to Gabby Douglas and Simone Biles. They are all phenomenal athletes. They do stuff that, hell, I don't think men could ever really do, because they are beyond talented. They are very, very athletic. They're built like athletes. I watched that movie King Richard to see what they went through and the training that they went through, which that is one devoted father right there. He pushed his daughters to be the best that they could be, and they have legit changed the game. They are like, Venus and Serena are like the faces of female athletics currently. And probably more Serena right now, because Venus has been, and she hasn't been as notable as of late, but Serena Williams has always been the type of person to fight for equality and fight for the justice that female athletes deserve. And I think that having a female cheerleader as a role model is huge, especially for the game. So we get more people like that. And I know you mentioned like Lisa Leslie. Lisa Leslie was someone that I've always known as one of the best female basketball players of all time, because she's the all-time leading scorer. And another female athlete that I have seen is Cheryl Swoopes. She was also a very huge role model to female athletes. She was one of the first dynasties in the WNBA that really took off with the WNBA with the Houston Comets. It was her, Tina Thompson, and Cynthia Cooper. That was like the first big three of the WNBA. And the sad thing about that is that the Houston Comets aren't even a team in the WNBA anymore. And they won five straight championships. They won like four or five straight championships to start out the WNBA. They were the first dynasty in the WNBA. And Cheryl Swoops and Cynthia Cooper and Tina Thompson, those are three of the biggest names in the history of that league. And now they don't even have an arena to put to retire their names and or put the accomplishments of all the championships that they won. And because that team faltered because of the lack of attendance and lack of coverage. And it's not fair because now that basically means that everything they did in the past means nothing now, which should not be the case because they put in all that hard work. They fought the blood, sweat, and tears that every athlete does to get to where they are. And I mean, not every day do you get to raise a championship banner or raise a trophy. That's like almost a once in a lifetime thing. And taking that away from them, not putting it up to show, I think that the Houston Rockets should have a display for that because they are equally as important. They've changed the name of the game for female athletes. Because right after that 1996 Olympics, it proved that women's basketball is very exciting. And it should be to the masses. It should have been pushed out to the masses. Like I know right now, some of the biggest names in the WNBA are finally getting recognized for their talents. Like Maya Moore has been someone that I've followed basically my whole life because she was, when I was a kid, she was at the top of her game at UConn, and I watched her highlight. She is one of the most talented individuals I have ever seen. I hope she comes back into the league soon because the league needs a lot of people like her. She has done so much for the game of basketball. But now we see all these big names. Now I know the Connecticut Sun, the New England team out here, they have a lot of like really cool athletes like Jasmine Thomas, Alyssa Thomas, and we also see Jonquel Jones, and names like that are really helping the game because they're becoming big names. And we're seeing, I know Jonquel Jones is in multiple advertisements on TV, and I think athletes like that gives them a face of who they are because it makes people wonder who they are and what they have done so far. Like I know Sue Bird has always been one of the faces of the WNBA. Diana Taurasi, they've always pushed them, and now we see Sabrina Ionescu. She is getting a lot of coverage because she is beyond talented. When she was at Oregon, she was tearing up the court. Like she was easily the consensus number one pick of that draft. She is phenomenally talented. And now she's doing like State Farm commercials and Subway commercials. And I think that's really good for the game. So real quick before we end things today, do you have any advice for aspiring young female athletes?
I'd say, I think something I would tell myself now, or my younger self, would have been like, just keep going. You're going to hear a lot of no's, but you only need one yes. And even if you never hear that yes, like do it for yourself. I think we tend to succumb to like societal norms or like what society deems as like the perfect athlete or like the perfect body. And like none of that matters. Like if you're having fun in your sport, if you're loving what you're doing, then continue to do that because you never know where sports or even education could take you. And going off of that, I will say take education seriously because at the end of the day, the ball will stop bouncing and you need something to fall back on. And so you could use athletics to get you to where you want to go, but also remember that education is the key to everything. And yeah, I guess have fun and enjoy it while it lasts because it does end very quickly. I feel like yesterday I was a freshman in college and now I just finished my master's. So it definitely goes by fast, but definitely appreciate it and thank your parents. Definitely thank your parents for all the time and sacrifices that they put into you becoming an athlete.
Yeah, no, I agree. My dad was a big hockey player back in the day, and he's a big golfer. He's always been a big fan of athletics and sports, and he's one of the reasons why I love baseball as much as I do today. He's taught me so much about the games, not just baseball, but basketball and football, and it's brought all of the athletes he was fans of, brings it to me. That's why I'm repping a Kevin McHale shirt behind me is a guy that played 20 years before I was born is something that I'm very proud of to be about. Like living in Boston is one of the greatest things I could have ever been thankful for because it grew me up to a big athletic culture and it's really made me fall in love with athletics. So I agree with you. Thanking your parents is a big thing because they are always going to be your number one fans. No matter how hard they cheer, no matter how hard they coach you, they're always there for you. So I agree with that 100%. And I think what you have, what you said about taking, just getting rid of all the negativity, getting rid of the no's, ignoring the no's, and just taking part of the yeses and listening to those yeses and do what basically you were put on this earth to do. Do what makes you happy and do what you'll be proud of down the line. And I know, and I, after talking with you for the past 40 plus minutes, I can see that you are very proud of what you have done in your life. I know basketball is a lot of fun. When I got hurt and I basically hang up my shoes playing the game, it's very hard to let go of because that's a game that we have dedicated in our entire lives to. And it's always hard to give up. And I really liked what you said about education is one of the most important things. And I've always been, and regardless of who I'm talking to, education, I've always said education is the most important thing that you could have, the most valuable thing you could have on yourself. You could have $1 million, but your education is probably worth more than that because it gives you knowledge and it gives you the skills you need to get out into the real world. And I think that having an education is a great thing to have to fall back on because unfortunately, I know you said it too, as much as you love the game, sometimes the ball will stop bouncing. You want to get to that professional level, but sometimes it might be further than reach. I know when I was like in third or fourth grade, I told my dad, I said, oh, I'm going to be the star of the Boston Celtics someday. I'm going to do it. That's who I'm going to be. That's what's going to happen. And then you get into high school and then like into college and realize, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. So you do need something to fall back on. And I think the advice that you gave for the young female athletes is very important. Because they deserve to have role models. They deserve to have cheerleaders for them to be successful in sports, regardless if they get to the professional level or not. I'm going to tell you this. Some of my best memories I've ever had are playing basketball and baseball growing up. Those are some of my best memories. I made a lot of friends along the way playing sports. I think it's good regardless if you're doing it to be competitive or not, or to get to the highest level you can get. I did it for the fun of the game because it changed my life. It exposed me to a lot of great people. I've met a lot of great mentors playing the game because I was the manager of the men's team at Merrimack a couple years ago. And I have made some great, great friendships over the years with people who in high school, I was the manager as well. I have met so many great connections that have pushed me to where I am today. And sports has always been very kind to me, other than a few injuries, but what can you do with those? But yeah. to be able to say that we have those connections now, we're 10 times better off than where we were before we started. So definitely athletics is something that everyone should have the ability to do and should be treated the same way regardless. So that's all the time that we have today, Autumn. I want to thank you so much for coming out. I know everyone's been very busy this summer. I know you just said you just got your master's, which is awesome. Congratulations. I am almost done. I have like 2 weeks to go, or less than a month to go. So I understand the grind is tough and I'm getting through this, but thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come meet with me to discuss this topic. And I really appreciate your participants. It's greatly, greatly appreciated.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I love talking about sports. So definitely a good breather from working on my master's as well. So good luck to you and we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much, Autumn. And thank you all for listening and tune in for future episodes of the Sideline Chats.